Some of you may know Deacon Frank Garceau. He's originally from Cohoes and is one of the deacons at St. Ambrose in Latham. He told me, we were talking this week on the phone, he told me about a time when he was preparing to be a deacon, when Father Ed Dymocky, who many of you know and have seen around, told him something that stayed with him and inspired, has continued to inspire him. Father Dymocky, with classic, simple, Midwestern military wisdom, told him, "If you know who you are, you know how to act. If you know who you are, you know how to act." But a lot of us don't always know how to act. And sometimes when we think we know how to act, we rush into situations doing what we think we want to do or need to do, and it doesn't always go so well. And when that's happening, it's usually a sign that we don't know who we are. And we're made in God's image and likeness, and so if we don't know who we are, often it's a sign that we don't really know or understand at a deeper level who God is. Often when I prepare to preach, I try to pray in the week ahead about asking God, what do you want to say to your people? And very often, there's a couple of lines from a song that I heard just once come to my mind. Tell my people I love them. Tell my people I'm there. Tell my people I love them. Tell my people I care. Because a lot of us think we're operating from a deficit, right? Or maybe God doesn't really think he knows what's for our good. Maybe he knows it, but he wouldn't really want to do anything about it. Or maybe he just doesn't care. If we don't know who we are or who God is, we will not know how to act. In the season of Easter, every Sunday in the first reading, we hear from the book of Acts. We hear about the first things that the apostles, the disciples, did. And today, we hear about St. Peter. St. Peter is giving his second homily ever. The first one went really well. On Pentecost, he gives his first homily, and 3,000 people decide they want to be baptized. Not bad. So he's probably, he's getting ready, he's energetic, he's ready for what the Holy Spirit's going to do. Okay, homily number two, here we go. And he starts telling the people in Jerusalem all about what they did during Holy Week. You denied Jesus, you handed him over in Pilate's presence. He says, you asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be handed over to you. You denied him. Wait a second. What is Peter doing? Telling a bunch of other people about how they denied Jesus. If there's anyone in the gospel who knows how to deny Jesus, it's St. Peter. All right, so what's his problem? Does he have short-term memory loss? Or you're of a certain age if you laughed at that joke.
Is it dementia?
Right, could be another place. Or is he a hypocrite? Right, does he not want to talk about what he did? He's ashamed and he's like accusing other people of the thing that he did. I think there's something else going on. And it has to do with what happens at the resurrection. Because we're told today that when Jesus comes into the midst of the disciples, he says, peace be with you, and they're terrified. They're still terrified until he says something to them. It says that he shows them his hands and his side. And he says, look and see that it's me. And then they become joyful. So what is it about seeing Jesus' hands and his side that could have made people who were terrified, cowards, right, into joyful witnesses? They saw what was on Jesus' hands and his side. They saw what the Gospels tell us was there, the nail marks in his hands and his feet, the mark of the spear from after he died in his side. Why would that make them joyful? Well, their best friend is back, right? Okay, one. But two, Jesus doesn't come back like some sort of demigod who's like, you know, got like big muscle power and, you know, is like a really, really impressive, right? He comes back with the wounds of his humanity. And I wonder if St. Peter started to think and to understand, well, if Jesus, God himself, in his glory, can bear the marks of the worst thing that ever happened in history, maybe I can allow the worst thing that ever happened in my life to be part of God's story. Peter knows from the conversation that he has with Jesus on the beach, when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's been looked at by Christ and seen and known completely, not just with the good things about him, right, but really like all of the worst moments. Jesus says, "Look at me," and he looks at his disciples, and that sets them free. But is this all made up? Maybe Peter just had like the big hallucination of along with the disciples, right? Here's the amazing things about the accounts of the resurrection. There are a lot of amazing things about the accounts of the resurrection. I love talking about them. But here's just a couple, right? Often you'll hear people, or maybe you've thought this before, maybe you have coworkers who say things like this. Well, you know, people back then, they believed stuff like that. They were, you know, just kind of credulous people. They didn't know a lot about science. But us, we're pretty intelligent people. And, you know, we don't just believe anything we hear. Right, so, if the accounts of the resurrection are just like a psychological projection, the disciples were in trauma, they really wanted something awesome to happen, and so they just kind of imagined it happening, then none of the things that happen in this account would happen, right? Because what happens? When Jesus comes into their midst, they're talking about him. They're talking about how they've heard that he's raised. And if they were imagining, oh, maybe Jesus is actually raised, they'd say, "Oh, Jesus, you know, we were just talking about you. You always said you were going to come back, and now you're here. We're really happy to see you." It doesn't happen. They're startled and they're terrified. In John's gospel, there's one time where Jesus appears to the disciples again after he's risen from the dead, and they still don't get that it's him. And then John says, "This was the third time this happened." If this is just a psychological projection, if they just imagined it, then right away they know, oh, this is what we wanted. Right? But they don't get it. And neither do we a lot of the time. We've got four friends here who are getting ready to receive their first communion in a couple of weeks. I'm excited for your first communion in a particular way, because your first communion is going to be on May 5th. You want to know what day I received first communion? May 5th. And I always remembered that day because we had like a little, I don't know why I always remember that.
And so, it's Cinco de Mayo.
And it's Cinco de Mayo, yes. So there'll be lots of reasons to celebrate. When we come to the Eucharist, we get to look at and touch Jesus' hands and his side. He's really present with us. And to you, he loves you. And his resurrection has the power to restore even what seems unredeemable in our life to something glorious.